You're listening to Irish Radio Canada, and we are in southern Kilkenny, close to the border in Tullahoct. And there is an initiative that was taken on this year, a pilot project, which was to provide a bus on a local loop in the area to go to a load of historic sites. And as I said, it's a pilot project, and we're going to hear a bit about the background. Jimmy Walsh is here, who lives in Tullahoct. Tafatarot.
From all good.
So, Jimmy, the pilot project, first of all, how did you guys get to be picked for a pilot project like this?
Well, I suppose to go back a little bit, we live in a fantastically heritage and history laden area on the western side of Kilkenny and southeastern side of Tipperary. So everyone was aware of it. There's national attractions here, and there was a Lingon Valley community tourism group set up back around 2010 or so to try and coordinate the efforts. So they set up a company in 2018, and there was lots of ideas and things thrown around, and people would say it would be nice to be able to bring people around to all the attractions together. So Kilkenny lead a partnership under Declan Rice, Ringalink, and Lingon Valley Tourism got together, and it started on the 1st of June and is running as a pilot project for 4 months. It's a free bus. There's 13 stops on it, 5 loops a day. You can get off wherever you like and go and visit the attractions and then get back on again. And it starts in Tullahoct. It goes to Kilkearn, where the High Crosses are, Carrick and Shure, where there's a castle and all the history of Carrick and Shure, up to Kilchealan, the Tidy Towns village, up to Kilcash at the foot of Slievenamon, back then to Grange Mokler of Michael Hogan fame, down to Killamery of More High Crosses, into the village of Wyngap, where there's a grotto and tea rooms and lots of other history. Then down to the Coshlin Knock Row, which is similar to New Grange, down to the slate quarries where they've cut slate for 700 years. Then on to Aheny, where it's Aheny Village is a copy of a Welsh mining village, and there's also two of the finest high crosses in the country located there. And then you come back to Tullahoct, and that's the round and the trip.
And it takes just under 2 hours, about an hour, a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah, 80 minutes or so.
Right. Yeah. So now, explain something else to me, totally separate. You said Ringalink, because you know what Ringalink is, but for someone that's living in Canada who may have emigrated many years ago, what's Ringalink?
Well, Ringalink is, they provide many services for the community. They provide school bus services, and they link the rural communities. They're not competing with the major bus routes, you know, Dublin,
okay.
Cork. Some of the services that I'm aware of are on demand, and I think they're working in Kilkenny, Carlow and Wicklow in our area, our group of Ringalink. So it's a fabulous service. They're 16, 20, they're small buses.
Right.
And they're providing a huge support for the people maybe that want to get into town to do jobs that might have transport. Maybe the person has gone to work in the house or something, the car.
So you call up.
Yeah, and they have regular bus routes now today. I think they're all started back on the back to secondary school today.
Okay.
And national school next week.
Okay.
And then there is a service where you call up, and then they arrange a route to suit the customers. And
right. Because I know I heard something a few years ago, and I didn't understand properly, but that, you know, that the rural village life and rural Irish life, it was dying in the evenings as well, and that the pub culture and the sessions and all those kind of things, because there were a lot of people living in isolated areas and they had no way of getting back into town or back into the village, and if they did, they had no way of getting home. Is that part of what this is about?
Yeah, it's part of it. Now, I wouldn't be totally off base with all the details,
yeah.
It's come to us here, but we've been looking here in this village as well. There's an 891 bus after starting from Kilkenny in February of this year, and there wasn't a bus passing through our area for about 50 years or so since the Bowers bus ran to Kilkenny, but this bus goes from Kilkenny out to Dainsforth and Snag, Stonyford, Kells, Kilmaganny, Tullahoct, Carrick and Shure,
right.
Kiltown and Fidown. So I suppose after all the years of neglect, the services have to get out of the community,
right.
And it's most welcome.
And while you listed out the places that the loop, and we'll be going on the bus and having a look at that as we go on. Tullahoct itself is a lovely, picturesque, beautiful village. And as we was coming into the village, I noticed there's signs up there for the Tidy Towns that you were successful. that involves great community spirit. I know that there's an organisation in Canada that is involved in flowers over there, and they modelled themselves after seeing the Tidy Towns in Ireland.
Yeah, Tidy Towns is a fabulous organisation. There's about 1,000 communities nationwide, from small villages to the big cities, take part in Tidy Towns every year in a competition. The judging starts around the 1st of June. I suppose if you're in the winning phase, you might get a second judging in August. And the results traditionally came out in September, around the time of the All-Irelands. So there was a huge anticipation for them. But now it's, I think it's in November they're coming out. But around here at the moment, all of the towns on the Loop bus are part of the Tidy Towns. And they work together. They travel out to collect litter early in the year as one of the first projects, and each village goes to meet the next village.
Okay.
So there's a huge community effort. This village here, we started in 1991. We were so far off the mark, we should have given up at the time, but the community got together. There was lots of, I suppose, dereliction after immigration in the 30s when the slave quarries closed, and in the 50s and in the 80s.
Right.
And everyone got together, people from 2 or 3 miles around, send in machinery, give you walls for stone, for buildings, and it's been onwards. We now have 4 bronze medals, 8 silver medals, and the elusive All-Ireland gold, or Olympic gold, is still to be captured.
And of course, for the Tidy Towns, it's based on population size, so Tullahoct would fall into a particular category.
Yes, lowest category, yes. I think it's under 200 people, it's category 8.
And what is the population that is known in the last census?
Well, we're in a very rural area here. I suppose there's, I suppose 100 people living in the, maybe 120 people living in the hinterland. There's probably 35 people living around
in the village. So there's a school, there'd be a national school here then?
No, the national school here, which is now the community centre, it was built for an increase of the population of slave quarries in the 1880s, closed in the early 70s, and the school children here go off to Winegap, which is the other half of our parish.
All right, right.
But population is lack of population or decrease in population is a huge issue around here, and if you capture it on the sporting front, 18 years ago we didn't have a minor hurling team, so it looked like the future was disappearing. So there's another parish up called Galmoy, up around 6 miles from Rathdowney, had no minor hurling team the same year. We got together, we now field teams from under 13 to under 21.
Right.
Both flags at adult level are still flying because of the cooperation. It's a huge commitment for the parents around here because it's a 60-mile probably round trip for training and for matches and everything.
Right, So with the onset of COVID, an awful lot of people ended up working from home, and coming out of COVID, there was a lot of people who got appreciated the value for rural life and the ability to be able to work from home despite previously having to go to the city. Has this region seen any improvement in young families wanting to come live and telecommute?
Yes, it has, yeah, and we're delighted that there is new young families here. They've come back. Lots of people, I suppose when you go away you realise the benefit of living in a rural area, bringing up your children in this kind of a scenic, historic,
crime free, relatively crime free. And scenery wise, you know, I said we're standing here, we're looking across at Slievenamon. Is that what we're looking at over there?
That's Slievenamon, an iconic mountain in Ireland. The story of Fionn MacCool and Grania that created the story of the race of the mountain of the women for the race up to the top for Fionn to select his wife.
Okay.
And I believe it didn't work out afterwards as he had to follow her around the country. But it's also, it's probably one of the best views you're going to get of it, because lots of people say Slievenamon is like a pregnant lady lying down, and you can see it there. You can see.
Yeah.
It stands out in front of us.
Yeah.
And it's only a couple of miles away. It's what drives the spirit around here, because all the rising ground across from you there is Tipperary, it's Munster, we're in Kilkenny, it's Leinster, it's hurling country. It's prior to that was football country. Both sides of teams that competed represented their counties in and won provincial titles, including All-Ireland semi-finals. So.
And we're here at a time of the year where we're seeing harvested fields and we're seeing green fields. So there's a lovely blend of colours, and then the different shades of green on Slievenamon from where there's some evergreens in addition to different shades, as I say, of greens up there. It's like the range of colours at the moment is so rich.
It's absolutely beautiful. We're lucky that there's a lot of small fields that's not
the hedgerows haven't been taken away.
And all the generation on this side, where I live and where my father and all the people of his generation before them, they looked out in the morning and they decided probably what they were going to do for the day, whether they were going to cut hay or turn hay or whatever it was, because the southwesterly breeze comes in over Slieve na Mon, so where the cloud was. Now, Slieve na Mon is up close to us today, which is a sign of rain. Sometimes it seems a lot further away, so...
It's only a sign of rain.
Well...
The sun is shining.
Yeah, when we spoke last night, I thought we're going to have lots of rain this morning. It's on the way.
Yeah, but it's not till later in the day. We're going to get the best of the day today.
Yeah.
Indeed. Jimmy, we'll wrap up here and we'll play a piece of music. And we'll play Slieve na Mon before we get in the bus and start on the loop. And then we'll pick it up there and some of the historic sites and share those as well with the listener.
Thank you.
So that was Slieve na Mon, and we're now on the bus, and where are we going, Jim?
We're going down the long pavement in Tullahawk. Just on our left there was the big house and the lodge, and the field in front of it was where cricket was played years ago with three cricket teams in the locality. That's Kilmacolliver Hill with standing stones on top of it.
Yeah.
And to your left, and the old roadway went across there. But down to your right underneath is a fabulous view down to a Henny, the Lingon Valley, and back towards Wine Gap, and the Lingon River runs out between us there. That's the Lingon, that's a Henny over there where you see a yew tree and trees in the field. Where we've passed now is we've passed the three trees, which was named at the top of the long pavement for three people being hung there many, many hundreds of years ago, probably for seeding turnips or maybe trying to feed their family.
And do you have an approximate time? When was that?
Probably
during the famine.
Yeah, or prior to that, I'd say.
All right.
So down in front of us, we're looking in onto the Cumberland Mountains in County Waterford and the part of the Golden Vale, and that little village down there in front of the cornfields is Faheen.
I want to pull you back. You said there were three cricket teams.
Yep, they were all farmers' sons or labourers. They weren't gentry, but at that time, the big house that sponsored the cricket in the area.
Okay.
So in my own family history, my mother came from down around Thomastown. Her uncle played cricket with Mount Juliet, and the only thing they knew about the area when my mother was coming up this area was that the local cricket team was the Kilmacolliver cricket team.
Right.
So this is Skiach Hill. Its name was derived apparently from they were bringing a chap into the Sizes Court in Carrick and Shure, and down here at the bottom of the hill they met the Countess of Granny going from Kilkenny via Callan back to Waterford to our home in Granny, and there was some kind of an altercation and she wanted to see someone hung was the fallout of it, and the man was brought back up to a Skiach tree up there and hung. There wasn't as much afforestation. But on this side of the hill, as in Ireland there's always two sides, the other story was that a man stole silver. It was the big house down here in Castletown Cox, and he was hung within the site of the crime and his own house. Right. So we're now at the first stop, which is for Kilcaird and High Crosses, and over to the left, about 300 or 400 yards at Kilcaird and High Crosses, there's a number of two high crosses, there's a holy well, there's Bullon stones, and there's even a fertility stone there.
Right.
It's one of the sites of the high cross of Western Ossory.
And who is it attributed to, or what church or saint?
St. Kieran.
Okay. Right.
So just as we go down here now, there's a bridge on the right hand side, it's called Faheen Bridge, across the Lingon River, and in our time it was painted probably every night or every second night in Kilkenny, be painted Tipperary, but Tidy Towns reigns here now, and the bridge hasn't been repainted for many years.
Right.
On the left, where the bull is in the field, you can see that green field there. That was a lake, a big pond, and there were swans on it. It was driving Barry's Mill. Barry's Mill was a big complex here, You can see the remains of it.
Yeah.
There was three mills in this part of the valley. Some of them were flax mills originally, then they became corn mills.
Right.
We're going long now towards Carrickachure, and
I want to go back there, that first stop, the High Crosses. So if someone comes on the loop, what you would do is the bus stop, I noticed it was 300 metres up to the crosses.
Yeah.
To get off, go for a walk up there, come back down and pick up the next bus.
Yeah, and you enjoy the scenery and quiet and stillness of the area.
So the loop is effectively, it's a hop-on, hop-off service.
Hop-on,
so depending on how much time somebody wants to allocate, they can decide, well, I'll go up along there, I'll spend my time on that, and then pick up the next one.
Yeah, and people have been really inventive how they've done it. They've often got up to it three times a day.
Right. So, and the distance between some of the stops isn't that much, so if you wanted to do a stop,
you might walk,
you could walk to the next one, and then, because the distance...
In there on your left is the entrance to Castletown Cox.
Yeah.
It was built in 1671, I think, or... Not a long time ago. It's a fabulous big house, Baron de Breffni. Then it was Charles Black, a Mangan man from a London banker bought it. He spent millions on redoing it. There was some, he sold it on because of some inheritance thing with his sons or something. And it's now owned by Kelsey Warden. He's an American oil magnate. I think he's a friend of Trump's, worth about $7.2 billion, and he's developing in it, and he's bought a number of farms and houses in the area.
Right.
So just to your left there is a beautiful Protestant white church. It was hundreds of years old, deconsecrated about back in the 70s. It has been redone, copper steeple and new organ and everything put into it.
Right, and it's in use as a church now?
No, it has been. It's a performance space for a long time.
But it's a performance space?
Well,
Yeah.
There has been no use that I'm aware of it in recent times.
Right.
We've now just passed over the bridge, Craig Bridge, into County Tipperary, in enemy territory to some of us.
But so we've also crossed from Leinster into Munster.
We have, to be sure, But this would be our town around here. Where we went to school, where we do our shopping, where the local market was. On the right hand side is the wall of Craig House, that's been bought by Joseph O'Brien recently. It's another period home going back a number of hundred years.
Right. So, at the moment, what would be the main farming in this area? Because it's a very much a farming area.
Well, I suppose there's always dairy. As you can see, there's a lot of tillage around this area. Horses now is a growing industry in the Dean O'Brien. There's a huge amount of horses out in the Dean O'Brien chain here.
Right.
I suppose beef and small extent stuff like cows, but years ago it was all small dairy farms, but now dairy farms are getting larger and scarcer. So.
Yeah, and because the land here is real rich.
It's lovely. Yeah, we're down the Golden Vale now, or the extent of the Golden Vale.
Right.
Back to your right is the Dead Man's Boar Inn. I don't know why it was named that. And the field, the farm down there on your left is Paddy Clancy's farm, of the Clancy brothers.
All right. So, Jimmy, we're just coming into Carrickachure. Carrickachure is very much a bustling market town. How big of a town are we looking at here?
Well, I think it's about 4,000 people now, but going back a long, long time ago, it would have been a major industrial town, probably up to 11,000 people, they reckoned.
And what industry, do you know, was the sustaining one at that stage?
Well, there was fishing, and there was basket making, there was woolen mills, I think, and then I think the wool was taxed at some stage, so...
That drives everything,
we know.
There was a tariff put on it.
Yeah. It has a huge association with Tullivanish, Newfoundland.
Oh, yeah.
And the castle is up there, the Tudor Manor on the front of it. Black Tom Butler was in the court in England, and he had some kind of a graft for Elizabeth or something, and he decided he'd build a manor house and she might come to Ireland, but it didn't happen. So.
Of course. So, Jimmy, we're on our way to Kilchealan, but we passed back there, and you told me there was a field where in 1904 the All-Ireland final was played.
Yeah, that's right. The Fianna Morris Davin. Morris Davin came from Carrick and Shure. He was a famous athlete, and then he was co-founder of GAA in Turles, and that match was played on his field. And at the time, Kilkenny played Tipperary in the hurling final. Kilkenny won 1-9 to 1-8. 4 years before that, there was an All Ireland football semi-final played there by the Leinster Munster champions, which were the Slate Quarries, which is one of our stops.
Right.
Their minors team had won out Leinster football, and a team from Clonmel represented Munster. That match was also played in Carrick and Shure.
Now, I take it at that stage Croke Park didn't exist.
Yeah, I think Croke Park was 1910 or 11 around that time. Yeah.
Right, so the All-Ireland would have been played in various places.
I don't know how many more. I think they were played in, generally I think they were played in Dublin, but Jones's
right.
Road wasn't bought at that time.
Right, right. And of course, at that stage, in 1904, that's pre-1916, so we're talking about that it was a 32-county Ireland under British rule at that stage.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So Kilsheelan then, we're heading towards there, and I see we're passing a tower house that's covered in ivy.
Yeah, that's one. There's a number of tower houses along the Shure Valley. This one here is called Dove Hill, and there's a stop here at Dove Hill. It's halfway between the stop in Carrick and Shure and Kilsheelan. Well, Kilsheelan is on the banks of the Blue Way that stretches from Carrick and Shure to Clonmel.
Right.
It's right on the banks of the river.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, well-kept town. It's a gold medal award-winning tiny towns village. Population about 500 people there. It's the, also the gateway from Tipperary to County Waterford. We're coming up to Merck Sharp and Dohme. It's
right,
an American
yeah.
pharmaceutical company. Probably
yeah.
around here about 50 years.
Right.
Probably up to 500 people employed. Sitting in the banks of the shore.
So since the pilot started, Jimmy, and with the, what has the response been like, and what has the exposure and the attendance, the number of people coming through, been like?
I suppose we're shoving probably 1,000. We're slow to get off the ground. Probably shoving 1,000 at this stage. We're close enough to it. It's amazing the people that have come here. We've had 5 Kenyans recently that came down and climbed Sleevna Mon, got off for 2 stops. We've had people from the Canary Islands, Wisconsin, England, Scotland, all over Europe.
Right.
I think people are absolutely thrilled with the beauty, the scenery, the quietness, and like simple things like when you go to some of the sites, the blackberries are out now. For people that come from towns and cities, and maybe the strawberries a few weeks ago, the simple things in life that we don't probably appreciate as
yeah.
much as we should when we live around the area. So.
And in some of the feedback, because I know there's on the bus here, there's a little card to ask, where did you hear about us? Where are you seeing or are you analysing where the majority of people are picking up on this?
Well, a lot of them are locals. We have a more intensive QR code survey, and I haven't seen the results of that, but that'll be used to develop this project.
Right.
And I don't know where people are putting down their comment from, but a lot of it is word of mouth, social media, contacts, people home from on their summer holidays, and a lot of tourists coming out of the Kenny Tourism Office. A lot of them have been pointed out this way.
Right, right. So while we've picked up the loop at what is defined as the start at Tullahoct. I know there's a timetable, but it would allow anyone to come on at any time.
Yeah, O'Donnell's Tower House down there.
That's nicely presented. I see glass in the windows, beautifully preserved there. But anyone can jump on at any point along the route.
Yeah, the route has been designed to catch the L891 bus coming out from Kilkenny to Carrick and Shure that
right.
passes through Tullahoct. The first route is timed to start with that, and it's also tying in with the Waterford Limerick bus route and the Clonmel to Dublin bus route, and it also caters for the Limerick to Waterford train line, so everyone gets on. Some people might find it's a bit rushed at times, but they're trying to capture as many opportunities to bring people into the area.
We're in Kilsheelan at the moment, and you're saying this, I see beautiful obviously a lot of work has been done for the tidy towns here.
It's absolutely brilliant, yeah. I suppose they're a market leader. They won the national title probably, it must be 30 years or maybe more ago, but they put in huge work the last few years. The committee here under Tom Callery were down with us last week in Telhawk, and it has opened up, Blue Bus has opened up lots of other things in the valley, like cooperation between villages and I suppose the appreciation of what's nearby for everyone. Lots of people go away on the holidays to see things that are 5-10 miles away from their own locality.
Right. The loop itself, how long of a distance is the loop that we're on?
It's 50 kilometres.
So, while I'm not offering competition, but if someone was a biking enthusiast, it's actually be a good cycle as well.
It would be a good cycle, yeah. There'd be plenty of variety and lots of beautiful rolling hills, scenery, bit of a challenge going up the hills. You're in Sean Kelly country.
This is great cycling country. I know
it made the man, Sam Bennett, all them international cyclists.
Yeah, because I can see there's not great cycle room on each side of the road, but hopefully the roads would be sufficiently quiet and safe that you'd be able to do a good cycle around here.
Yeah, there's you have Carrick Cycling Club in Carrick and Shore, and then there's a lot of social cycling groups, Kilkenny, Kells, they're all over the place, and they tend to come into the area at the weekends. You know,
right.
They might be doing a 50, 60, 100 kilometre loop, and they pass through the area. They're regulars on the road.
Schliebnemann itself, what height are we looking at, you know? Approximately
2,200 feet, if I recollect, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very easily accessible.
And then to go from the base up and down, what would someone allow for that if they wanted to walk it up and down?
The people that were aware that got off the bus skipped two bus trips, so that'd be 3 hours, I suppose, to give ourselves.
Right. So we're heading into Kilcash, and Kilcash is famous and it's held in song.
And the lament for Kilcash, Cadigenemy Fasta Gonaimid. It was a lament for, I suppose, the old way of life and the castle in Kilcash and the loss of timber in it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the huge oak woods were cut down and they were exported
for shipbuilding
and for big houses across the channel. A lot of the people from this area were forced or felt that they had to emigrate. Huge amounts of them went to America.
Right.
I think it was written in one of the London papers at the time that was probably the worst thing that happened, because they went out in such big groups and they were kind of organised going out that they reorganised to support the home country over beyond, and maybe that's what brought great support we get from America. The fact that four of the last American presidents have Irish connections.
If I'm not mistaken, Maher, he was sent to Van Diemen's Land, if I think correctly, and then he escaped from there and managed to make it out to, or was that a different one, out to Montana?
Well,
there was the second governor of Montana.
There was a fabulous, that was probably one of the greatest, I think it's been made into a film shortly, one of the greatest escapes ever, where it was organised from America.
Yeah.
That some of them were released, I think, and they left. Some of them were left at home, back in the prison over there. And they organised to get a ship out to Australia.
Yeah.
With no telephones, no mobile phones, no anything. Got out, parked outside in the harbour.
He then was out in Montana.
Yeah.
He was the governor. He was the second governor of Montana.
Yeah.
We're just at Kilcash Castle, and past an old church settlement.
Had it first, or the Folly, I think there were, or some version of that name, I think they came from France, and then
okay.
It became known as Walls, and then it passed into the Butler. Butlers would be very strong in as a leading family in the southeast.
In the Ormond, that was
the Ormond Castle, Kerr Castle, Kilkenny Castle. We'll actually pass through a townsland shortly called Butler's Wood.
Okay.
I suppose the Butler family were amazing to someone that has little knowledge of history, because they always seemed to, whatever happened, there was always some branch of them on the other side. You know, they always seemed to retain their lands and property, which is hard to do in, we say, the troubled times in Ireland back then. And there's a beautiful churchyard, Kilcash churchyard. Kilcash Castle now is owned by the OPW. It was sold to the state, I think, for maybe £500, maybe 30 years ago or so.
Right.
So there's no access to it at the moment. It has been stabilised by the OPW, but hopefully, as part of this project, it might move on, getting the work done to put information boards and maybe access to it.
Yeah.
The church beside it is beautiful. There's a mausoleum there to the butlers, where a lot of the leading butlers are buried, and there's a Romanesque doorway, and I think the graveyard, the headstones go back to the 17th century.
So after Kilcash, where do we go?
Well, Kilcash now, we're hitting for Grange Mochler of Michael Hogan fame. We're going up now to Glen Bower. We have an old RSC barracks on the right hand side in the junction to Carrick and Shore. They tell me that Glen Bower is kind of a pass between, it would have been an important place, pass between Clonmel and Kilkenny. Reputedly, got its name because there was a lady here and she was robbed by a highwayman, and she called out, or she shouts out for help, and she got no help. And the glen, as you can see, is two hill on either side and a stream running down the centre, and the bower comes from being deaf, so it's either that people didn't want to hear or they didn't hear, so it became the name. She called it Glen Bower. It's a name that's it's picked up in Kerry and down near Peeletown here.
Right.
So there's a little junction up here to brings you up to a famous battle site in Corrigmacleer. You see the hill further on, but Corrigmacleer was the only site in Munster where the 1798 rebellion took place. That's 50 years before the famine. It happened after the Battle of New Ross and Vinegar Hill and Wexford, and some of the rebels then came back to Carlow and Kilkenny, and there was a plan to light a beacon or a fire on top of Corrigmacleer, which is a flat hill on the foothills of Slieve na Mon, to call in all the people from highly populated areas and very freedom orientated areas of Ballingarry, Mulnahone, Carrick and Shore, all back south to Kenny, back towards Carrick Shock, where the Battle of Carrick Shock was fought.
Right.
But maybe owing to drink or rumours or something, the authorities or the Redcoats found out that what the plan was. They went up the mountain and they lit a beacon, and when the people came up, there was a massacre, the first people going up.
Right.
That put an end to the plans for the rebellion, and some of the people, there's a plaque at the High Cross in Killamery, noting that some of them were buried there.
Right.
So that's 1798, and there's a history of rebellion and resistance, or the dream of freedom, I suppose, is probably what drove people on this area.
I noticed we passed a sign for Ormond Castle back there.
Yeah, that's the Ormond Castle in Carrick and Shore with the manor house, just a butler castle.
Yeah.
That's again, along with Kilkenny Castle, Clare Castle, that's an OPW site, and as you said, the guides are there, and it's a brilliant tour.
Yeah. As you said, the Ormonds are very, very, the butlers very strong in this neck of the woods.
Absolutely.
They would have been the rulers of, the three counties nearly, would they?
They'd be the major landholders, the Lingon River would have been a divide between Kilkenny or Ossory and the Dacia and Tipperary, so we would have went across maybe to Killaloe, to where the graves of the Leinster men are on the Shannon, and I think we got as far as Yall at one stage, and we were, you know, over generations.
Right.
The boundary moved back, and the river just underneath is Lingon River. That's just the turned out to be it's the boundary for part of it at the moment. So I'm moving into Grange Mochler village. Cardinal Brown came from here many, many years ago. There's a statue, there's a lovely coffee and tea rooms here on your left hand side, and just down the village you'll see a statue to Michael Hogan on the left hand side. And Michael Hogan was a renowned Tipperary footballer in 1920. He was in Croke Park playing against Dublin, and he was shot on the field of play in Croke Park. That's his statue there, and he's buried just across the road in the graveyard.
And that's why the Hogan Stand is called the Hogan Stand.
It is, yeah. It happened after Michael Collins' men, I suppose, dealt with some of the agents from the castle the night before in Dublin, and the match went on the following day, and as a reprisal they brought an armoured car into Croke Park, and there was numerous murders or killings there.
Right.
And that's Corrig McLear out there to your left. See it out there? See that? Back that way.
Any idea what McLear means, or the rock of Corrig and be rock, wouldn't it?
Corrig and be rock, yeah.
That'll be one for John Creedon.
I have lots of things that made my head still fall into my head later on.
Yeah, but John Creedon, if anyone has time as well, he did a fantastic atlas of Irish place names.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
where he went around and put the history of these place names and what they came from. Fascinating piece of work.
This is where the man now was reputed to have maybe in the Grand, he was drinking in the Grand Inn or something here on your racing side, and that's how they got the information, or someone skimped on him, or, you know, it's hard to know in Irish history.
So, if we're going through a 9 mile house, where are we 9 miles from?
Kells in County Kilkenny.
All right.
It was probably the main road between Clonmel and Kilkenny City.
Right.
Down the road here now, the turn to the left here is for Mulhone, and you'll see a brown sign on your left and you're back into Kilkenny. So like the cross border part of this initiative is absolutely fabulous, like.
Yeah, because we passed the Tipperary sign no more than about a kilometre back. So we're obviously very much down at the very tip of Kilkenny.
So, Kilkenny,
so literally only about a kilometre, 2 kilometres. Yeah.
Well, Grange Moncler, Kilcash, Kilcheel, that was all Tipperary side. Yeah. You're back in the Kilkenny side now.
And on our left now is stunning view.
Stunning views out
of the valley.
Yeah, out into Mulnahone, Littleton, back towards Turles. And Killamery's coming up here on your right hand side now.
Right.
So there's more high crosses. Church in behind you, in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, see it up there on the left?
There.
It's up there on your right, sorry.
On the right.
Well, the size of the high crosses is just there.
Yeah, see it there. When it comes to the volunteers and yourself and other volunteer guides, how many volunteers have you been able to recruit in order to make it work?
Well,
not overburdened.
Yeah, well, the last feedback after the first 6 weeks of the 4 month project was that people needed to know more where they were on the route, because watching a map and speeding by is, you could miss things. So. There's about 7 volunteers on it at the moment.
Okay.
All different levels, from different parts of the route, that might have more experience in one part than the other, but it's about sharing the knowledge, letting people know where they can get off, what time the bus is coming back at, and what other options are. And like in one case, we've had a man from Clare Castle. He's been back 3 times to do the route. He's taken probably an average of 2 to 3 stops. He's well planned, he's very inventive about how he does it. He takes a few photographs, he posts them online on Ireland from the roadside, so he's given a lot of coverage to the area. But it's excellent from that point of view. Like some of the things that people have done to catch 2 or 3 stops would never have crossed their minds, and then get a cup of tea or a lunch or a dinner along the way.
So if there was, as there are in Ireland, a number of people who will guide a tour. So, if someone came to you and said, you know, I have a group coming in from wherever, be it North America, and would it be possible for me to bring them on this loop, and would you be able to facilitate a 5-minute stop at certain points along where I can just get them off and explain and that they can climb back on? Do you see that that type of flexibility could be included?
In the future, we would that would be one of the feedback things. Like, some people mightn't be able for the 10-minute walk down to a size. They might be my age, or you know, they might be elderly or something. And if they could see where the main sites, it might be sufficient. But yep, we would love to see that happen.
Right.
We'll just have to leaving the village of Winegap.
Yeah.
There's two hills that form it. It's the main road from Carrickmacshore to Callan, and it's the Gap of the Wind.
Right.
So it's a historic village. It's a real progressive village. It's the where the local school is, handball alleys, tennis, camogie clubs, hurling clubs, badminton clubs, and they have a new community tea rooms there. It's really well worth the visit. The ladies on the bus were in the tea rooms a few minutes ago, so it's open on from Tuesday to Saturday from 10 to 3, and a lot of the staff are volunteers.
Right.
You can get a full dinner, you can get the whole show there, and it's one of the market leaders for community tea rooms across the country at the moment.
Right.
So we're hitting now for Knockrow, and Knockrow is a burial chamber. It's about 5,000 years old. It's like Newgrange, but it's more sophisticated than Newgrange, because Newgrange has one chamber on the solstice where the sun shines in the morning time. The one here has two, from both the morning and evening one, and it's different from Newgrange. It's not covered over. There was probably a dome over it at one stage, but both burial chambers are open. The capstones are on the ground beside them. It was excavated in the 1880s after local people kept contacting the authorities that there was something special there. So there's been human cremated remains, deers, beads. It was done by Dr. Munisha Sulawan, and about 300 to 500 people would turn up here on the 21st of December for the morning or evening solstice, along with the Druids, depending on the weather.
Right.
So it's located on the bank of the Limon River. It's believed there's a cairn on top of Stephen Amon. There's a ring of standing stones that's in front. There was a ring of standing stones on Kilmacolliver Hill, and there's a cairn which the folklore of into the underworld in top of Stephen Amon. There's another group out in Tipperary, out beyond Bancha, and then you have to go to France to get similar groups, and it's the most southerly aligned one in the Punt in Ireland. Just 30 stones with engravings on them. Now you would have to see them because of erosion. You might have to pour water on them or see them in frosty
right.
conditions, but it's probably the gem of the area.
And in any history or study being done as regards what the settlement was, or
Dr. Murish is publishing a book on it shortly. I think it's maybe gone to print, or maybe at that stage. So I think all his theories will be. It's probably the people came up the river, maybe up to Carrickmacshore, and then came inland and probably found it was a safe or a holy place, or it had some significance.
Right.
But to create it 5,000 years ago to allow two chambers line up with the rising sun and the setting
yeah.
sun,
yeah.
and you might live to 30 years of age or 40 years of age, and it was a massive achievement. It's older than Stonehenge and the pyramids. The area we're in now is part of a big slate quarry development. They reckon they cut slate here for 700 years. All the area we're in before now, there was no vegetation in my youth. It was all mounds of waste slate. They cut slate here for 700 years. It was industrialised by the Victoria and the Ormond quarries. They brought in their own water supply, and then we had the first line in from Ardna Cusha. Some of the slates from here are on Westminster Abbey, all
okay.
the big houses around the country. And slate workers from here were in Vermont before the famine, cutting slates along with Italians cutting marble. All this valley here was just cut in. The farmers and landowners had the quarries for generations before it was industrialised. the workers then closed in the 1930s, probably just tipping away into the 1940s. Port Row in Tipperary was kept open at its expense, even though it wasn't believed that it had the better quality slate.
Right.
I suppose the demand for slate decreased with Spanish, softer, easier to work Spanish slate came in, and concrete tiles for roofing. And just where we're turning now, it was because there was so many people here, where we're turning now is at Bon Rhee at Slate Quarries. We have John Delaney's, which was a fabulous music pub. The RSC barracks was exactly on the right hand side there. It was probably to control the pass up, and then there was rumours the white boys were operating in the Slate Quarries. The RSC officers in the Slate Quarries, two Kerrymen, brought in handballs to the area. They took out the cinders out of the fire, spread them out the back, flattened them down, and handball came to the area, and handball is still very strong here. And the new modern alleys in Winegap, and we have both national and made a world champion last year. And we're just going down the river valley, which is part of a Slate Quarry area, and we're going to turn in over the Victoria Bridge, which was called after Queen Victoria and the company, and that leads up to a Henny. And up in the Henny there's two Victoria quarries. They're much larger than the Ardman quarry that we passed. The Ardman quarry that we passed is probably 70 feet high. It's probably, there's a pond in there where they were pumping out the water, so it's 70 feet deep as well. But it was a moving feast. As hard as they dug into the rock, they backfilled behind them. So the road we passed over was where all the slate yard was, where they cut all the slate. So we'll go up into the Henny now, and they had a requirement for workers and housing for workers, and it's still a problem in Ireland looking for housing for workers. And Henny village here in front of us is a copy of a Welsh mining map. There was four terraced houses. Two of them are called Vicar Street, and the other two are called Moore Street, and it's about 300 yards from Henny High Crosses. Now you can see they're unique looking houses.
Stunning.
The ridge tile follows the lie of the land, which is really unusual in construction. So there were two-roomed houses. Lots of them had half doors. When I was young, they all had finches and bird cages outside. It was a canaphony sound. And Leo Cody, a local here, says that the way the houses were designed, the steps were inside. So in one house, you might go up to bed, and in the other house you might go down to bed.
Right.
So that's here. The High Crosses are just up about 300 or 400 yards away. There's two of the country's most important High Crosses, 1100 years old, made of sandstone. It was reputed there was three of them there. One of them has been taken away maybe to England or America, and I suppose that been lost in an accident in Waterford Harbour.
Right.
One of them is missing an arm, and there's a story about it that over in Birchwood, there's a fabulous view from the crosses across to the Kennyside River, we're now in Tipperary. And in Birchwood, and you can actually see it in front of you, there was a man who had a house over there, and he wanted something to sharpen his tools. And because that was sandstone, he came over and said he'd break a bit off the cross. He came and he looked back and saw the house on fire, and he went back, and there was nothing after happening in the house. Done the second day. Same illusion, went back, came the third day, broke off the piece, went home, and everything was gone. Whether it's a pishogue or something that's been handed down for 1100 years, no one knows, but it's a fabulous story. And like fairy forts and ring forts and circles of stones are all protected in Ireland, probably through stories like that. Or were copied by Italian people in around 1910. They were in the National Museum for a long, long time. They're now to be seen, the copies are to be seen in St. Mary's Church on the medieval mile in Kilkenny. Some people think that they might be territorial. There's stories that were all the crosses in Kilree, Kilkearn, Killamery and Henny were associated with seven brothers, or seven bishops. One man thinks it might be territorial because there's scenes that could be interpreted, biblical scenes from the war back in Judea and places like that, or maybe the King of Leinster going away to war and then coming back defeated. It's not rightly sure which one it was. We're coming back now towards the entrance to the Slade Quarries. Up on the hill there used to be an old castle, going back hundreds of years. It's no longer there. And there's another one of just beyond Delaney's pub that included a hardware, grocery and bar. Is a mill, and the mill is in your right hand side, and if you look back sharp you'll see the mill wheel on the gable. It's a protected building, but it's going into decay. The unusual thing about that mill, water was fed to the top of the wheel. In most mills around it went in at halfway up.
Right.
It was fed from this point here on the road and down over the top.
Right.
It was one of that's probably closed about 60 years now, I'd say, at this stage. So the miller went from there to Barry's Mill that we passed earlier. Delaney's pub had its own grocery bar and had Deal and Jory, and his name escapes me. Wrote an article about going to Powers, passing in through this entrance in a bad car on a bad night. So the village forge, which was so important, one in every village. There's a famine pot association, a Tidy Towns project. There's a memorial garden here to all the Tidy Towns volunteers since 1991, and straight ahead of us on top of the hill is a viewing tower, which probably gives one of the best pictures of the Lingon Valley and Slieve na Mon that you're going to get on your travels. So we're passing now, coming up to Powers Pub, closed for 16 years, open for 12 years, associated with the Clancy brothers, Tommy Makem, all the great film and music stars from America when they came home on holidays.
And we're back to where we started.
We're back to where we started.
Jimmy Wells has been fascinating.